So is this on? Check, check. Okay. So yeah, I don't know if it's coloring books back there for the Kingdom Kids, but they're just on the back table in the, there we go, in the foyer. We had Pastor Wayne here last Sunday. Did you enjoy Pastor Wayne? He's a wonderful, wonderful. I met him quite a few years ago, and we met at a golf store. And we quickly found out that we were both pastors, so it was kind of a cool connection. And he's a retired Alliance pastor. He's been doing it for quite a while, but I'm sure you saw how gifted he is at speaking. And I love his heart and how he shares Christ's message. So I'm glad you got to. It's nice to have different speakers, right? Get tired of my voice after a while. I even get tired of my own voice, so I can't imagine how you feel. So yeah, it was wonderful, really wonderful to have Wayne here. Let me just connect this while we're going. There we go. We've been in the Book of John for a couple weeks, and so the last Sunday that I was with you guys, a couple Sundays ago, I'll just... Oh, perfect. Look at that. Okay. Oh, that's doing something different. Aha. Look at that. Okay. Love the Gospel of John. And I just want to share a little bit. I won't keep you over. I know it's Mother's Day. Well, at least I'm going to do my best. But John is such a unique gospel. And remember we were talking about John. He wrote his gospel a lot later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So he had a lot of time to reflect. And so the last week that I was preaching with you, I mentioned again that John had more time to reflect. And so in the last passage that we looked at... let me just read it for you again. And I'm just going to connect on the last couple verses that I touched on. And here's what it says, verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And then if we back up to 14, it talks about the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Jesus, we experience the fullness of both of those things, grace and truth. And we like grace. Remember, we talked about that. We love grace. Grace is so precious, so nice, so easy. But we also need to have the truth as well, right? Truth will set you free, right? So it can't be all about grace. It's grace and truth. And in Christ, we experience the fullness of both of those things. And so we're going to pick up here in verse 19. And let me just read it for you. So John chapter 1, verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him then, "Who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, who said, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John replied, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not even worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let me just go a few more verses. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." Right? John continues to refer to the deity of Jesus. Right? That he was here now. You're seeing him, but he was before the world even began. And he's with us now. So John is wanting us to understand that Jesus was more than just a man. Right? He is God in the flesh. He's come. A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me." "The one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." So our sermon title message today is Testimony and Witness. John the Baptist went boldly in a time where it was not so easy to go boldly. The religious leaders and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had all kinds of rules, all kinds of stipulations. They were the rulers. They had the edge in the corner on what it meant to trust God, to believe in God, to follow God. And so I just want us to pit, we have to understand this. It was not an easy time. And so John the Baptist, he's going out boldly in a time where it was not so easy to go boldly. And not easy with how he looked. Let me read from you, and let me just go back to Matthew's gospel just for a pause, and I'll read it to you from chapter 3. Here's what Matthew records about Johnny B. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And he was saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, 'A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey." Meal of a champion. "People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River." So can you picture John for a second? Camel's hair. He had camel's hair for clothing, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He's a crazy man, right? He's crazy. How many of us would go bully? But John did not care what he looked like, did he? He wasn't wearing all the garb that the Pharisees had to be recognized who they were. John just went. He's a voice in the wilderness calling out, prepare the way for the Lord. John knew what his role was. I have come to prepare the way. His boldness came because John knew his call. He knew what he was called to. I was thinking about this. Do we know what we're called to? Because I'll tell you this. I remember in the different parts of the world that I traveled to that weren't so easy. It was really difficult there. You're getting sick. You get diarrhea. You're throwing up and you have to get up and speak. And it's just not. And people are attacking you and judging you. And they hate you because you represent God. Some people are very angry with God. And it's very difficult. And I'll tell you this. If you're not called, there'll be nothing to keep you there. Right? There'll be nothing to keep you. And we have to know what we're called to as believers. Amen? See, John knew his calling. He knew what he was called to. His boldness came because he knew he was called to prepare the way for Jesus. He got chosen. He was related to him. They were cousins, right? And John goes out and he boldly shares this message. He was convinced of his call and he was convinced of the one who was coming after him, who was before the world even began. Those things will hold you. Right? I remember waking up some mornings, and I just like, how am I going to do this? I got a whole nother month to go out here. And because when you're called, when you know that God has called you to something, it holds you there. It'll keep you there. And he reminds you of where your focus needs to be. Not on the problem, but on Christ, the answer to our problem. You guys have seen me do this before, right? We have Christ on one hand and our problems on the other. And when our problems become our focus, we get overwhelmed, we get anxious, we get undone, we burn up, we burn out, we go sideways, we get fearful, we get worried. But when Jesus is your focus, do your problems go away? No. Well, then why make Christ my focus if my problems are still there? Well, God gives us a wonderful revelation, doesn't he? Because when you fix your eyes on him, he becomes bigger and the problem gets smaller and smaller and smaller. You see the author to this life, the one who made it. Amen? And so victory in our lives is merely the simple principle of keeping our focus on Christ. Don't let the problem draw you away from your place that you have in him. Amen? And so I was thinking about this with John. He knew what his calling was. He was convinced of it. Nothing moved him from it. But he also didn't make himself the guy. Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? Who are you? And church, that is such an important question to be able to answer. Do you know who you are? We're children of the Most High King. I'm looking around me and I see royalty. I see princes and princesses of the Most High King. Do we live out of that position that we have in Christ? Because it's nothing that we've done, right? That's what Scripture says. It's nothing that we've done that has given us the right to become children of God. It says everything that he's done that has given us the right to be called a child of God. John knew his mission. John knew his call. But he also knew who was coming after him. And that's the one he wanted to make the focus on. Amen? I mean, I have always been intrigued with John the Baptist. Hey, hon? From an early time. And I remember I had to read through, Cindy will remember this, we had a Gospels class in Bible college, and you had to read through Matthew 5 different times. And I remember every time I came to John the Baptist, I was just intrigued by his life. And we had to read the book of Matthew, right? So I read about him. Man, this guy like wore camel's hair. Like, what did that look like? And he ate locusts? What a crazy guy. With wild honey, though. Oh, sure, that makes it better. Right? And I was intrigued by his life, but I saw his boldness. I could picture John's boldness. He went out there when the Pharisees say, no, we're it. And John says, no, I got a new message for you guys. You too come. Repent. Repent of your sin. Be baptized with water, for one's coming, and it's not a water baptism. You got to be prepared and ready for what's to come. And he went boldly, and he proclaimed it boldly. I wanted to read you something from Exodus. Because speaking of boldness, okay, I want to read this to you. It's from Exodus chapter 33, and I'm going to read verses 12 to 22, and it's the New Living Translation, and here's what it says. One day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied to Moses, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said this, if you don't personally go with us, I don't know why he says it again. The Lord just said he's going to go. But if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. Then the Lord replied this to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and know you by name. Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. My goodness, he just doesn't give up, does he? Then the Lord replied, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. The Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. I was thinking about this. Did you see how boldly Moses spoke to the Lord? Right? He was very forthright, wasn't he? Right? He just said exactly what he thought, and the Lord replied. Right? The Lord replied to him. He didn't say, Moses, don't talk to me like that. Do you know who I am? I am the King of all creation. I made the heavens and the earth. You do not speak to me. The Lord didn't say that. He replied to him. Maybe sometimes we're too nice to a fault. Isn't that what all my American buddies say? You Canadians are nice to a fault. And I said, well, you're too, what's the word I always use with them, honey? You're too out there to a fault. There's a certain word I always use, but I thought maybe, I don't know, maybe we're too nice to a fault. Maybe we need to speak with a little more boldness. And I think you do when you know who he is and who you are, right? I think you do. I think when you truly know who God is, right, he's also a friend, right? Like, we can talk to him boldly as well. We can also talk to him boldly. So I was just thinking, isn't that interesting? Right? And as I was reading this, I'm like, wow, God actually replied to him after talking to him like that. You know, and he kept asking, and God said, I'm going to do it for you. But what I also liked is that Moses wasn't going to go alone. Right? Who are you going to send with me? Isn't it nice that we're together? Right? We don't have to go it alone. We have Christ, and it's half the truth. We say, all I need is God. Well, fundamentally, that is true, but he's also created you for each other, right? We're a body. We don't have to do this alone. So I want everybody here to know, right, whatever you're going through, as your pastor, I stand with you. But you have to let me know the need, right? We have to share life. I guess I didn't share about my knee. I have a severely torn meniscus, I found out, and it's not a clean rip, they said. It's a pretty messy one. I forgot to share that this morning, but I know many of you have asked about it. Isn't that nice to know? There's somebody with you. We're standing with you, but you have to let people know. If you're lonely and at home, give one of your brothers and sisters a phone call, right? Let us know. Let us know how we can minister to each other, right? We are a family. Okay, I got a little off track there, but it was a good point. Amen? Right? So John the Baptist, he's going boldly. And his boldness came because he knew what his call was, and he was convinced of that call. I hope everyone here knows who they really are. Because I want to turn bewildered saints into knowledgeable opponents for the enemy and his tricks. We must know who we are and stand firm in it. Again, I wouldn't tell you to pray for boldness. I want you to recognize the boldness you have in him. Right? It's already there. I'm not going to ask you to pray for something that you already have in Christ. we have that boldness, we must recognize the boldness that's already there. You do not lack anything. Psalm 23, the Lord is my, I shall not want. Other translations, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack no thing. Right? We lack nothing. So the boldness is there. We have it in Christ. Let me read you another one. Let me read you Psalm 34. You just sit and listen, and I'll read to you. But look at what Psalm 34, verse 10 says. If you have your Bible, circle this. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Do you hear that? We lack nothing. This was even written before Jesus came. Right? The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack no thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He'll lead me beside green pastures. Amen? Do we believe that? Luke 22, when Jesus was sending the disciples out, he asked, did you lack anything? No. Not when Jesus is around. We lack nothing. We lack no thing. So we don't pray for boldness. We recognize the boldness we have in Christ, right? Right? We're so full. So let me read for you one more. Give me one more. And I want to read Colossians to you. You guys have heard me mention this verse that Paul talks about, Colossians 2. For in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead, or other translations use deity, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to that fullness. Right? So do we lack anything? Do not let the enemy convince you that you lack, because you do not. We lack no thing, not one thing. You are full. I know, I remember there was a point in my Christian walk where I felt I lacked many things, right? I lacked so much. And I remember I wanted to be more like Rich Mullins. I don't know why. I just thought, that guy has it, I think. He gives his shoes away. You know, I thought maybe I need to give my shoes away or something. You know, I don't know. But he seemed happy, you know? But I didn't understand who I was, and I really didn't understand who God really was. So those are two vitally important things to your Christian walk. You must understand who God really is and who you are in Him. Amen? Okay? Repeat after me. For in Christ. Okay, let's try it again. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, I have been brought to this fullness. Again, for in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form. And in Christ, I have been brought to His fullness. Amen. Do you lack anything, church? Isn't it wonderful? Don't you love that I can stand up here and say, I have something that you need? So no, as John, I come as a witness. I just want to witness to what you already have in you. And I want you to testify about it to the world, to your world around you. You have boldness in Him. And when you get to know Him, I promise you, that boldness naturally will flow out of you because you're full of Him, right? So we don't pray for it. My prayer is I hope you recognize the boldness you already have. That's how I will pray for you. I pray that you'll see you already have His boldness. I pray that you don't feel pressure to have to get your friends to turn before they burn. Flirt to convert if you have to. Right? Christians feel pressure about those things. Right? But it'll all happen. If that is your motive, you've replaced it with love. With love. Love has to be the motive, right? Because I love you, and you let God just provide the natural opportunities to share. It's not supposed to be a pressure thing. right? You just love on your friends. And through Christ loving through you, they will start to come to understand it. We haven't done a good job, church, of this, right? Churches still live under works. We got to work, and it burns people out, right? But man, when you understand the fullness in Christ, oh, do you have energy? Look at Jeremy. I'm exhausted around his energy sometimes. It's just so much. He actually told me today he was burned out. I said, finally. It's about time. Yes, exactly. Till the next cup of coffee. Okay. I was at an Alliance denomination thing, and I'll have to admit to you, I had kind of a bad attitude going there. I didn't want to waste 3 days of my life. That's how I felt. But I got there, and the Lord threw me a curveball. They really ministered to me there. It was wonderful. It was such a good time. And I'm actually excited about where the Alliance is headed. They've made a huge shift when I was here 18 years ago. And they ministered to me there. And here's one of their slogans, right? This is one of their main slogans. Serving those who serve others into the fullness of life in Christ. Don't you like that? I like that. Serving those who serve others into the fullness of life in Christ. I really like that, don't you? Right? We, as a denomination, want people to understand the fullness of Christ that you have. It was a huge shift from last time, 18. I came home so excited. And my window broke down on my driver's side door. But I didn't care. The wind was blowing in my ears. It was cold. I got the heat blasting in our old Dodge Caravan. And I just didn't care because I was so happy. And I was trying to roll up the window and it hit the top and it went crack. And then, and I couldn't get it back. But I just didn't care. Because I wasn't focused on the problem. I was focused on Christ. And I got to spend time with my brothers and sisters. And they encouraged me. What a privilege we have together. Right? I am so happy to do this thing called life with each and every one of you. I'm glad God has sent me here for such a time as this. You'll probably figure it out, I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm a weak pastor who believes in a great God. Right? Out of my weakness, he will be my strength. Amen? I hope I always minister to you out of my weakness. Because if I don't, I will move into pride. And this is the point I want to end on with John the Baptist. So the Apostle John is talking about Johnny B, okay? Johnny B. And he wants us to recognize how full we really are. John the Baptist said this in John chapter 3, verse 30. So a little bit further along. He says this. I'll just read it to you. I'm cheating a little bit because we're going to get there, but I had to bring it up today. And listen to what John the Apostle records about John the Baptist. He says in verse 30, he must become greater, I must become less. He must become greater, I must become less. Don't you really like that? The humility of John? Right? And so when I was reading about this in college, my wife got me a bumper sticker because she knew that was kind of my life slogan. And it's on my guitar still to this day. My guitar case, you'll see it. But it says, he must increase, I must decrease. And I don't know why that struck out, but God wanted to let me know, you're not as good as you think you are. Humble yourself, dear child. Please, for the love of God, humble yourself. Don't let pride get in. And it stuck to me because God knew I needed it. Right? I don't want to be a prideful person. I want to walk in humility like John. John was the bomb. He's a camel-haired dude eating locusts and what? Like, he was it. Everybody was coming to him. And as soon as he saw Jesus, he said, look, there's the one who's going to take away the sin of the world. Go worship him. right? He didn't hold, because John says the next day he came. The Apostle John recorded that. We just read it. The next day, Jesus came, and he pointed straight to him. In my prayer, I remember, I said, Lord, I think I need to elevate that prayer a little bit more. You must increase, I must decrease. And I just said, Lord, all of you and none of me. Because outside of you, there's no good thing about me. So my prayer is that people would see all of you and none of my flesh. Right? You heard my life prayer about a window. I want to be a window. Because when you look at a window, I don't look at the window. I see what's beyond it. And I hope when people look at me by the end of my life, whenever my last breath is, that people see right through this sky here and just see the love of Christ that he had for people. That's my prayer. I just want people to see Christ. Because everything about me that's good is him. Amen? Remember when God made man and he said it's very good? You know what I think what was very good is I think they saw what his life could do through a human being. It's very good, isn't it? Jesus was never plan B, he was always plan B. Jesus was not an afterthought. He was always plan A. All right, I must read this. Oh, I'm doing great, but I will let you out a little early, or I'm going to try. Do you guys remember going through 1 Peter? Do you remember how much fun that was, going through 1 Peter? And I have to read this to you, okay? So I'm going to read this verse to you. 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's what it says. In the same way, all of you clothe yourselves with what? With humility. Okay, I want everybody to hear this, okay? All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Okay, so first of all, clothe yourself with humility, and then he has another part to it, to one another. So don't be prideful with each other, be humble with one another, amen? Humility comes from Christ. So if you're growing in your relationship, man, that humility is a natural result. But listen, it's not done yet. For God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. That word oppose is strong, isn't it? Who here wants to be opposed by God? No, that I oppose you. That's that, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to who? The humble and oppressed. Therefore, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in his due time. So it's not going to happen. Don't worry. Well, I'm going to get missed if I just keep being humble all the time. Right? How do boldness and humility fit together then? Can I be bold and humble? Well, absolutely. How? Do it in Christ, not in your own strength. Understand the abiding life. We're getting to that. John will speak to it later in chapter 15 when we get to that in 3 years. Just, I hope I'm kidding. There's so much in this book. Right? But he's going to get to it. Because that abiding relationship in Christ is so vitally important to the believer. Right, Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about following Jesus, but John takes it a step further and says, abide in Jesus. Right, there's a difference. There's something different there. So don't worry. He will lift you up. Don't worry. Don't lift yourself up. You don't need to worry about it because he will lift you up in his due time, right? So you can just be free. Isn't that nice? Right? You don't have to try and make something of yourself, to build your own kingdom, to become something here. You already are something. You're a child of God. Is that not enough? What more do you need? So let him lift you up. Just walk humbly with your God. Right? Micah 5, 6, 8. Well, what is it, Lord, that you require of us? To love mercy and to act justly and to walk humbly with your God. So don't worry, he'll look after you. He will lift you up in his due time, not yours. So just be free, right, church? I want us to live in that freedom. Man, there's a lot, hey? I just read you a few more verses, and I could probably go on and on, but it is Mother's Day. And I want to recognize our mothers today. And I really do. I mentioned that earlier, but I really hope all of my mothers here in this church that have been asked to shepherd, I really hope each of you feel celebrated today. I really do from the bottom of my heart. I love my mom, my earthly mama. Right? I think she did a good job with me. And because she just loved me. That's all. She just loved me no matter what. I was not an easy kid. She actually told me I was the most difficult. Me and my oldest brother. The other two, she said, made it a lot easier on her. But I said, but Mom, aren't you glad that I drove you to your knees to pray? You're a very spiritual woman today because of me, really. Right? I hope all of you mothers feel loved. Because you should. God has given you such a unique nurturing of kids. I don't have it like you do. You do it so well. And I pray that you feel celebrated. I love how God made you, and I hope you do too. I hope you just love how God made you. He made each of you unique. And man, the way that you express love is so different from a dad. Kids need their mamas. It's true. They need their dads. We'll get to that in June. But they also need their mamas. My son will even protect his mama. If he hears me getting after a bit, he comes and gets in the way. No, don't, dad. That's mom. Leave my mom alone. I'm like, oh, boy. Okay. Right? Mamas are special, aren't they? They're very special. So I would like all the moms in this room to stand up if you could. Just where you are, just stand up. Right? Stand up if you're a mom. And I want the rest of us to give a hand to them. Thank you for being who you... No, don't you sit down yet. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for loving your kids. Even if they don't recognize it all the times. Thank you. And I want the rest of us to reach out your hands towards one of the moms, okay? And I want to pray a blessing over you today. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for these special, special ladies. Thank you for bringing these particular mothers to this church, Lord. I feel blessed by many of them, all of them. And so, Lord, I pray that they would recognize their strength comes from you. I pray that your love, God, just flows so freely through them. Maybe not to their own kids. Maybe it's to other people who need to sense that love through them. I pray, Lord, that each one would know they're uniquely made by you. You weren't in the cookie-cutting business. And, Lord, I love how moms express love to those who need it. Thank you for each one of them, Lord. I really do pray, God, would you let every one of them know how special they are to you? How important their role is to you. Thank you for the job they've done, loving their kids and those around them. And Lord, I pray that they, even if their kids are come and gone, Lord, I pray that they may see a need out there with somebody who needs the love of a mother. Help them to recognize that. But Lord, may they go away today feeling special and blessed. We need moms. Thank you for how you designed it, Lord. It is so neat. It is so neat. And we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus, thanking him for our mothers. In that name we pray. Everybody said? Amen. Amen? Okay, ladies, have a seat. Have a seat. All right, I'm going to stop there. I'm on time. I wish Denise was here because I promised her I'm going to end on time. And she's not even here today. Ah, so somebody tell her, please, okay, for me? But tell her how much I love her. She's a dear sister in Christ. Okay, are we excited about John? I hope you are with me because this is it. We're going to have fun. Like, we're going to have lots of fun. I know you're going to grow. I know you're going to start to see what the Apostle John wanted you to see about Jesus. And it's deep and it's good. And if you hear the words and not just be hearers of it, but let his life flow through you to do the work, man, you will be blessed. I promise that because he promises that. Amen? Okay, I'm done. Have a great week and we'll see you next Sunday. All right.